107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Speaker Mike Johnson says he expects to have a vote in the House on the Trump mega bill tomorrow or Thursday at the latest, depending on weather delays. Some of his members flew home and are having trouble getting back to reconcile the Senate version that passed today.
We knew we would come to this moment. We knew the Senate would amend the House product. I encouraged them to amend it as lightly as possible. They went a little further than many of us would have preferred.
President Trump says tonight that Israel has agreed on terms for a 60-day ceasefire in Gaza and urges Hamas to take the deal. Brian Koberger is taking a plea deal tomorrow that will spare him capital punishment for his guilty plea in the murders of four University of Idaho students. Their families are furious. The Diddy jury is hung up on one charge and is being told to return tomorrow to complete the verdict. The U.S. halting some shipments of weapons to Ukraine amid concerns about its own stockpiles. This is ABC News. Looks like a big fight in Texas. Candidates lining up to challenge Republican Senator John Cornyn for his seat.
Former Democratic Congressman Colin Allred has set his sights on Texas senior Senator John Cornyn. Far from shying away from his loss to junior Senator Ted Cruz last year, Allred is casting himself as an underdog everyman.
Folks who play by the rules and keep the faith just can't seem to get ahead. But the folks who cut corners and cut deals, well, they're doing just fine.
Cornyn faces a serious primary challenge from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, with both Republicans fighting for the endorsement of President Trump. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The Trump administration has shuttered a major federal climate website called the U.S. Global Change Research Program. One of the largest U.S. charitable organizations has a new leader. The Ford Foundation says Yale Law School Dean Heather Gerken will succeed Darren Walker as the next president. Gerken prioritizing increasing access for underrepresented students. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a four-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brook Lopez, who will sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and two future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, mostly clear skies accompanied by a light breeze. Morning low temperatures will start off in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. There will be a few afternoon showers and storms with highs in the middle 80s. It's 72 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for our special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6, mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up for you. We are hoping to connect with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce.
Yes.
We are close to a budget deal
it's like,
in Wisconsin.
It's like tentative. It's feeling like...
I know. It's wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And apparently they reached this deal last night, put an embargo on it until 5 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just trying to get caught up. And again, there is still voting going on and there's still things going on in Madison. So we are hoping to connect with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce to talk about this process and how we got to where we are and what this means. Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will join us after the 9:30 news. We'll continue to talk about the Wisconsin state budget as well as the federal budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of things going on there, too.
Yeah.
And things that apparently just airdropped into this budget that no one knows how it got there. No one knows who put it in there.
It's like that old story of the cobbler who go to sleep and all the elves would come and put it. It's like it's
and when, just you just wake up and it's there. It's a magical thing.
Yep.
After 10 o'clock, Dean Muller is the president for Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. He is going to be joining us to talk about climate change. Yes. We had talked to PJ Leash, I believe it was last week, about the increase in the tick population here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That is all tied into climate change because as things continue to warm, critters that would have stayed in warmer states are moving up as we continue to warm. So Dean Muller will be joining us after 10 o'clock. Our audio sorbet today, because it's summertime.
Yes.
First day of July.
Okay.
What is the worst ice cream? The worst ice cream. That will be audio sorbet.
Okay.
I talked to someone yesterday who had feelings about this.
Was it me?
No.
Oh, somebody
it was
else.
Not you. It was someone else.
Okay. All right.
That's audio sorbet. That's after 10:30. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do. Oh, this is a good one. This shouldn't be a thing. Today, the You Dirty Rat Edition.
There it is.
How was that? That was Mike Cagney. It wasn't great.
I would say it was more of an homage rather than an invitation. So
fair enough.
You're honoring the legacy.
I am attempting to honor. Yes. So that is all coming up on the show today. I hope you can stick around for that. As we said, we are hoping to connect with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce about the budget deal. We'll see if we're able to make that happen. I'm sure she's getting pulled in and out of meetings and all kinds of other things. But here is what we know as of today. From the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears, Governor Tony Evers, and legislative leaders reach bipartisan deal on budget after months of negotiations. A lot of this stuff seems to be good.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you read it and you say to yourself, really?
I know. I know. Where's the trick?
Yeah, where's the trick? Exactly.
This tentative agreement will invest hundreds of millions of dollars in the UW system, as opposed to the $87 million the Republicans wanted to cut from it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was last week.
It was very much very recently where they said, we want to take nearly $100 million out of the UW system. And now, like I said, I'm waiting for this rose to squirt water in my face.
Where's the anvil?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to hang up, land on my head. The budget also creates new grant and payment programs for childcare. Something that's really important to a lot of Wisconsin voters.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
And now apparently it's cut through a little.
Yeah.
It's cut through a little bit. The tentative budget also further boosts investments in special education and cuts $1.3 billion in taxes. Governor Evers said he focused on the investments in education and child care, saying this is a pro-kid budget that's a win for Wisconsin's kids, families, and our future.
I'm very excited about this. I'm excited about the possibilities right now. You know, I will reserve excitement, full blown excitement, unbridled ecstasy for when the ink dries on the paper.
When it's done.
But for at the moment, this is a budget that Wisconsin works for Wisconsin. This doesn't feel like a Republican or Democrat thing. This feels like something that works for the state.
Oh my gosh, you mean compromise?
Holy cow.
What a terrible, dirty, horrible word.
I know. In 2025, in this economy, compromise?
Amazing.
Wow.
The biggest piece of the package is a hike of more than $500 million to special education funding compared to current law. And again, just as a reminder, we fund, Wisconsin taxpayers, mm-hmm. fund reimbursement rates for private schools who have special needs kids at 90%.
Yes. Yes.
Not for public schools.
Correct.
Now they've upped it a little bit. They will increase the reimbursement rate to 37.5% in the second year of the budget, up from the current level of 32.1%. Committee also okayed going to 90% to reimburse districts for high costs of special ed kids, those who incur expenses of $30,000 more in a year. The deal takes the reimbursement rate to 45% by the second year of the budget. Again, still 90% for private schools.
That doesn't feel like a total win. Like if you know, I feel like it just makes sense that it would either match or they would say, "Hey, private school, we'll reimburse you at 70%."
Right. So we can.
Yeah. That's still a huge discrepancy.
Governor Evers had earlier threatened to veto the budget unless lawmakers included a commitment to address child care costs. So this tentative budget deal calls for $331.6 million in new funding. That includes $110 million in direct payments to child care providers, which is what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Robin Voss, correct me if I'm wrong, said, we're not going to do that. That's a terrible way to do that. We're never going to do that. Now it looks like we're doing it.
I would like to know the conversations that, because last week, nothing was happening. The governor had walked away. The Republicans weren't giving an inch, and the talks have broken down.
It was essentially, we're just going to go with the old budget.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't get anything done.
Exactly. That was much to the chagrin of Chris Kapinga, too. He wanted to do that. That was his thought. Like, let's just stick with the old. Because for those who don't know, if Wisconsin can't come to a budget, we don't shut down. We don't stop. It just reverts to the current budget expenditures.
Spending limits. Yeah.
So we wouldn't stop working. And that was fine by Chris Kapinga, and I'm sure others.
Lemahieu seemed fine with that.
But I don't know who came to the table. I don't know who presented the first olive branch. But this is a budget that works for Wisconsin, and that is huge.
If you would like to join us at 855-752-4842, that's 855-75-CIVIC. John from Menominee Falls listening on WAUK. What we've heard about the state budget seems like a little too much common sense. I'm guessing there will be massive tax refunds for the wealthy. While the special ed spending is an improvement, it is still an embarrassment. Dan from Wausau, also listening on WAUK, says two positives can unfortunately sometimes make a negative.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, I don't disagree with the special education spending, and I'm hoping that it's something that over the next few, unfortunately, budget cycles will continue to rise. But I have a feeling that if there was a massive tax refund for the wealthy in there, that would also have been reported. They're like, unless they're still bringing that to the table, if there was some sort of massive, huge Washington big beautiful bill version of this in Wisconsin,
right,
that we'd know about that right now.
I don't know. You never know. Maybe they just airdropped something in overnight that no one has seen yet. No one knows who it came from. That's
very
what
true.
They're doing on the federal level.
Yeah.
Governor Evers says the people of Wisconsin expect their leaders to show up, work hard, and operate in good faith to get things done. We've shown we've been able to get good things done for Wisconsin when people put politics aside. I look forward to signing a bipartisan budget that makes these critical investments in our kids, families, and communities across the state. Evers has also agreed he will not use his partial veto power. Very, very stung by that.
Mm-hmm.
On parts of the budget included in the deal.
Yeah.
Robin Voss says in a statement he appreciates Governor Evers' willingness to work with lawmakers to find a bipartisan agreement. Quote, this budget delivers on our two biggest priorities, tax relief for Wisconsin and reforms to make government more accountable. This deal brings those investments and reforms together and creates a Wisconsin that works for everyone. Does that, are we giving more money to GOAT then?
Yes, GOAT on the, is Jane,
why are we not talking about GOAT?
Hey Jane, is GOAT back?
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
He has two shows.
Yeah, two shows, folks.
Two shows.
Totally different shows. I feel like everyone is gingerly walking around it because we just want to see what all comes together at the end of the day and what, you know, when everything is signed and good to go. But this seems like I'll tell you this much. If you would have told me yesterday
right,
that this was the budget that was going to be happening, I would have said, you are out of your mind. The Republicans will never agree to this. Governor Evers won't come to the table for a deal that they want because that's what we were seeing. But this just feels Like, I want to know the conversations that had happened behind closed doors over the past few
Wouldn't
days.
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Because someone had to say to the Democrats, we need your votes. Because the Republicans
didn't have enough.
Did not have enough. They had right. They had enough dissension in their own ranks to put us to a place where we would be using our current budget for however long. So just that thing of getting in behind closed doors and having those conversations, that was a start. And there are people on in the comments and the live streams that aren't totally impressed by it. But I will say I would rather take this for now than what I thought it was going to be.
Cassandra on the live stream says, I was very shocked when I saw this report this morning. I am waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, and that's fair.
We hear you, Cassandra.
That's it's absolutely like, fair. That's
wow,
absolutely
fair. Something kind of good.
Yeah.
Where's the catch?
Yeah.
Where's the catch?
Do I have to give up my car? I have no idea. Like, yeah, we're very much used to that in the non-compromise 2025.
Absolutely.
In the rhetoric of, you know,
my way or the highway.
Exactly.
Baby.
Exactly.
We're going to continue talking about the tentative
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin state
yes.
budget. That's where we are this morning. Still also hoping to connect with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royes. We'll see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. You can always join us. Give us a call 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane, Jane,
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 9:30 news. Host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Again, we'll continue our conversation about the Wisconsin state budget. If you have our tentative agreement, I should say, on the state budget. So that is coming up also in hour number two after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Get away from the news. Thank you, Calvin. Today it's going to be the worst ice cream. What is the worst ice cream? Everybody's got an opinion about this.
Yes, I do.
I talked to my knife sharpener yesterday. He had an opinion about this.
Wow, Jane Matinier living the fancy life of having a knife sharpener.
It's part of the service.
Wow.
Anyway, worst ice creams, audio sorbet after 10:30, and some exciting news to tell you about. We are going on the road, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It is officially official. Matinier on Air and the Todd Alba program. Hitting the road in just a couple of weeks. We are going to stop in Oshkosh, in Butternut, near Park Falls, and in Hayward. From the EAA's Air Venture to the upcoming Packers training camp to the history of small towns to lumberjacks in Hayward. So much more. I hope you can come out and visit us when we hit the road in just a couple of weeks. Our special road trip edition of Matt Nair on Air and Todd Alba, July 16th, 17th, and 18th.
I am going to make myself look as unlumberjack as possible because I don't want anyone pointing at me going, here, you climb a tree.
You,
I'll be like,
you can't.
I know.
You'd have to shave. You'd have to cut your hair.
All those things are. I've been told to get a more American look, so a more American man look. So maybe I'll just take that advice.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Yep. Come and see us when we hit the road along with Todd Alba. It should be a lot of fun. In just a couple of weeks, yep. We'll be in Oshkosh on July 16th, in Butternut on the 17th, and then in Hayward for the big lumberjack competition on the 18th.
I've always wanted to say this. Maybe we'll be in an area near you. So check us out.
Exactly. We'll, yeah, come and visit us. It should be a lot of fun. We were talking about the Wisconsin state budget before we went to the break. We're going to continue that. Child care was a big, big, big concern.
Yes.
And we are making some investments. Mm-hmm. Child care portion of the tentative budget includes a $123 million to boost a state child care subsidy program for the working poor. This will help ensure families that qualify get payments big enough to cover about 75% of the available child care slots in their area. Now, there's $66 million for a new Get Kids Ready initiative, provide payments to child care providers to serve four-year-olds and get into a curriculum to help them prepare for school. Mm-hmm. And then about $29 million to increase reimbursement rates for those serving toddlers and infants. So it's not everything that had been hoped for, but it is certainly more than we were hearing about. The only thing that the Republicans, the only fix they had for this was make it bigger and let 15-year-olds watch kids.
Well, and also the tax credit to businesses to open their own child care centers, which I feel like when they announced that, it wasn't announced. It wasn't a for real thing. They were floating the idea, I believe. I'm pretty sure they probably heard from businesses and they said, we're not doing that. Also, I just want to, we were also talking about special education reimbursement in the public schools. We want to make a correction. And thank you to State Senator Chris Alfheim for sending us the information. It is going to be an increase of to 42% in the first year and then 45% in year two of the budget. So that brings the special education reimbursement for public schools, up from where it currently is, which I believe is 30%.
32, I believe.
Okay. 32%. So it is a raise, and that is the correct information. And I want to thank State Senator Alfheim for that.
Absolutely.
Because we want to make sure, because an increase is an increase.
It's not 90%.
It's not 90%.
Which is what private schools get.
And Alicia on the live stream says, for me, an okay budget is a whole lot better than what we would have gotten if Democrats hadn't won more seats last year. Thanks to Fair Maps for that one. And you're right. It isn't everything that was wanted, but I will say, as I said earlier, if you would have told me that this is the tentative budget agreement yesterday, I would have said, where did you hear any of this magical information from? Because this is nowhere near where I thought it was going to go.
And what are you smoking?
And according to State Senator Chris Larson, he has made it clear on social media. Dan Schaefer broke this to us in our chats that he has said that unless there are more amendments agreed upon by the Democrats, he will be voting no for this. So this is not done.
We're not done by a long shot.
There's going to be more talks.
But again, as you said, I firmly expected the Republicans to just say, "We'll just stay with the old budget." Then mm-hmm. I really didn't expect we would get this far.
Yeah, yeah.
It still remains to be seen when it will get done. But it's progress.
It's progress. Whew, that felt good to say. It's progress.
It's progress. Yeah. All right. We got news coming up next. And then Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the VAST, statewide, countrywide, take us global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Speaker Mike Johnson says he expects to have a vote in the House on the Trump mega bill tomorrow or Thursday at the latest, depending on weather delays. Some of his members flew home and are having trouble getting back to reconcile the Senate version that passed today.
We knew we would come to this moment. We knew the Senate would amend the House product. I encouraged them to amend it as lightly as possible. They went a little further than many of us would have preferred.
President Trump says tonight that Israel has agreed on terms for a 60-day ceasefire in Gaza and urges Hamas to take the deal. Brian Koberger is taking a plea deal tomorrow that will spare him capital punishment for his guilty plea in the murders of four University of Idaho students. Their families are furious. The Diddy jury is hung up on one charge and is being told to return tomorrow to complete the verdict. The U.S. halting some shipments of weapons to Ukraine amid concerns about its own stockpiles. This is ABC News.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a four-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and two future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of royal family drama over the last few years, which eventually culminated in a formal estrangement for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Harry and Meghan, which sounds a lot less sexy. Head of the not-really-necessary royal outfit, King Charles has made it known that he's going to buck tradition and wants the Sussexes to be front and center at his eventual funeral when the time comes. The New York Post reports that Charles has made it clear he would like his son Harry to walk side by side with his brother William, who will then be king. Charles has also stated that he would like Harry and Meghan and their children, Archie and Lilibet, good lord, they actually want people to dislike them, to take part in the lying in state and candlelight vigil portion of the funeral. There has been no comment yet from the Sussexes. I'm not being lazy. The Duchess and Duke are actually referred to by the county name. As the Squire of Marinette, Wisconsin, I can confirm this. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Mostly clear skies accompanied by a light breeze. Morning low temperatures will start off in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. There will be a few afternoon showers and storms with highs in the middle 80s. Currently 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowwood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague and host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9 across the network. Pat Kreitlow is here checking in from Lake Wissota. Lots of talk about the budget. Pat Kreitlow, tentative budget, should say, because this isn't a done deal yet.
It's not, but it's pretty darn close, and it's a pretty nice deal. I will give credit to Dan Schaefer reacting to it on our show an hour ago, saying that this is a result of fair maps, that fair maps get you a fair budget. Now, fair meaning not great, you know, doesn't stink, it's fair. And look, if you were dealing with a Governor Tim Michaels right now,
oh yeah,
you wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
You'd have the opposite. If you had a budget delay, you'd have it for the same reason you have it in Washington, D.C. right now, because, you know, as I've said before, you'd have more Ron Johnsons going, can we close some more orphanages first before I support this thing? And
smack an empty bowl of porridge. Get away from me, child.
Cut the gruel a lot. Yeah. Come on.
That's where you have all the dysfunction in D.C. where they might not make their July 4th deadline, whereas here, because of the fair maps, because you have extremist Republicans who, well, like Chris Kapinga posted yesterday, he'd have been happy with a months long delay in this. Mm-hmm. The rest of the Republican caucus said, no, why don't we make this a bipartisan thing after all? And that way, some Republican extremists can say, nope, it doesn't cut enough. Some Democrats in very safe seats can say, I'm going to vote no because it doesn't go far enough. Mm. And we don't have to sit through a weeks long or months long budget delay.
So, Pat, I want to ask you a question, because while you weren't in the room for these talks this time, you have more experience in this world than we do. We are state government adjacent in this one.
That's right.
We spoke about earlier about the conversation, because the last time we had heard it was the Republicans walked away, Governor Evers walked away. And honestly, the fact that this came down today was absolutely surprising. So can you give any, I know this is speculation, but can you give a speculation of the first steps of like someone calling up another person, say, hey, we need to get this done. We need some votes. What are we going to do to make this happen? I mean, this is kind of a perfect example of compromise in 2025. So can you shed some light on where that process would start, the behind closed doors thing?
Yeah, a little bit. First off, when either side says, well, we're walking away, we're breaking off talks, nothing ever truly breaks away, because, I mean, you can't get a deal until you talk to each other again. It's like being on a break. And Ross and Rachel, you know, may eventually get back together, but who knows what happens in between times.
Sure.
So they're on a break, but, and this is the part that's unclear, one of two things happen. Either it's a couple of good staff members on either side, because again, everybody knows each other in the building there by and large. It's a big high school sometimes, seriously, the cliques and everything. But, you know, a couple of staff members they'll continue talking maybe when they go walk outside for a cup of coffee, or, you know, a couple of legislators. It doesn't happen as often. It's usually staff.
Really?
Staff are... Not all staff, but so many of the staff members are just remarkable people. Mm-hmm. I couldn't possibly say enough about them. Whip smart, and they're going to be closer to the middle because they're going to be more practical, by and large, not all of them. And they're going to say, well, what if we did this and what if we did that? And then they take it back to their bosses, and next thing you know, they're arranging just a quick meet, but suddenly they're talking, and they keep talking, and they say, well, let's take the next step and start talking about the next thing and the next thing. And then you get to the point where we are now with a joint agreement between leadership. And now they got to take it back to their respective caucuses, where guys like me, when I was in the Senate, we'd hear about it from our leader, who at the time was Russ Decker. And, you know, we'd either ask questions or, you know, some of us would stomp our little feet and say, no, I can't support this, you know, depending on the situation.
I'm Thank you for that, because I think that's really interesting, Pat. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, I certainly question, you know, what happens behind closed doors. I think that's probably a much more impressive answer than mine would be, because I just envision two lawmakers calling each other going, look, we're really in trouble and we're going to look really bad to our constituents, and we might have to get an actual job. So maybe we should compromise on something.
There may have been a little bit of that, but again, by and large, they look at it as a work assignment, the same way that we all, you know, have assignments at work that have to get done. And then you put the political applications to it, you know, later. You're always mindful of it in the back of your mind. But in the case of this particular budget, you had Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Republican leader, who, you know, he can count. And he's got 18 versus 15 for Democrats. And he could see that he could only afford to lose, you know, one senator. And once he had two and maybe three of them saying, I'm not voting for these things because they don't cut enough funding.
Right.
That's when he knew it was time to bring in Senate Democratic leader Dianne Heselbein and Governor Evers and say, all right, well, how do we do this? It would not have been LeMahieu's first choice. It would not have been Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's first choice. They would love to see more of the cuts. I just happen to think that they were going to be more willing to walk away and say, fine, we just won't do a budget at all. But I think they ultimately decided it wasn't worth either the political risk or, frankly, the hassle. Do they want to be the ones that say, you know, that you know, Steve Noss and Chris Kapinga and Hutton, you know, kept me from doing my job? So they decided to do their job in a more bipartisan fashion than they perhaps normally would.
I want to bring something up, and we were talking about this before the show today. And Calvin, you brought up this concern about the taking of credit. And one thing we saw, I'm going to make a reference from the infrastructure bill. A lot of Republicans we saw voting against the infrastructure bill, showing up to big unveilings saying, look what we did. Yes. There's obviously going to be the chance, opportunity, and most likely the happening of Senate and Assembly Republicans saying, we did this budget, when we know full well that they're not anywhere in favor of it. So is it sort of a thing of just, well, we got to let it happen. They're going to do it, and we'll know who is in and who is out, and that's just part of the deal.
Yes, it is. So what will happen, let's take the case of childcare. Again, Republicans officially were putting $0 into childcare accounts. And now there will be an amount that's in there, you know, $100 million or more will go toward childcare. And they will be able to say individually back in their districts, I was always concerned about this. And, right. You know, I expressed it to leadership and we got it done.
Look what we did for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what happens.
Yep. And that's how I was thinking of it, too, is from the point of view of there are probably Republicans who are on board with this, but can't say out loud that they are, because they are going to get in trouble. They're afraid of getting, I mean, in the case of Robin Voss, getting recalled twice. You know, there's yep. ramifications to going against leadership.
True.
And so I do feel bad for those Republicans who are like, this is a really good deal. We should just take this and go home and campaign on it.
And they have to. And the better parallel I can draw is at the federal level here, where, again, you've got Republicans there saying, this is a big mistake cutting Medicaid
yeah.
this much,
yeah.
you know, and they're right now feeling as helpless as it gets. But if, you know, something happens where it's not cut as badly, they're going to take the credit for it
as a win.
And in the meantime, yeah, as a win. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, they're just going to use the talking points of, well, we needed fiscal responsibility and waste, fraud, and abuse, and other empty words that I don't really mean, because they're being dragged along.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Pat Kreitlow, who is host of the Pat Mornings with Pat. I almost call it the Pat Kreitlow Show.
I do that too.
The Kreit Show. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning, 6 to 9 here on Civic Media. And I guess, I mean, the question is, we keep saying tentative, and there is a very much an attitude of the other shoe dropping. But I mean, you just said when you joined us, it's pretty much there. And
yeah.
Can you see anything happening where one side stands up and says something so significant that it will send people away going, nope, we got to redo this? I mean, like you mentioned, both sides are going to have people who say, well, I'm going to vote no on this. And it's going to be more for show than for anything, really. But is there anything to look at for a possible hiccup, if you will?
Well, it's always possible, and I loved the earlier analogy of, you know, when is this flower going to squirt water at me? Because it does seem too good to be true, and I think you heard that in our voices, you know, me and Dan Schaefer and State Senator Jeff Smith, and especially Corrine Hendrickson from New Glarus, a child care provider, who was crestfallen, at first was happy to see all this investment, but then realize that a lot of it is only there for 1 year of this 2 year budget cycle, and thinking, well, now there's no security, there's no stability. You're only funding us for a year. So it is possible on the Democratic side that something like that could cause enough members' heartburn to want to speak up and offer amendments on the assembly floor or the Senate floor. And then on the Republican side, you could conceivably have some people from the far right saying absolutely not to increased funding for the UW system. Maybe that's a bad example, but just go with me on it. They bring in something like that, and enough other Republicans agree, and that amendment actually passes. That's the kind of thing that could actually scuttle a deal like this. Mm-hmm. It's not likely, but the odds aren't zero.
Sure. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
It's always possible.
Go on.
I was just going to say, Tony on the live stream has a comment. What provision is in this budget bill to stop the Joint Finance Committee from withholding any future funding after the governor signs it?
Excellent question.
That is a great question.
I don't know.
For which we do not have an answer. Yes.
WBA, right. Are you listening?
Yes. That is, you know, again, there were a lot of details that were put out, but there are still many more details to come. Corrine Hendrickson couched her language saying she's going to read it more to see what's in there. Senator Jeff Smith was looking to see if the Chippewa Valley hospital closure money is going to carry over or not. And in this case, what he's referring to is last week's state Supreme Court decision that provides the possibility that the Joint Finance Committee could use their quote unquote supplemental fund as a big old giant slush fund. And State Senator Jeff Smith, in the last hour said that's a concern of his too. So much like we say about all these things, you have to read the bill. You have to read the full bill and don't try to jam us. Give us time to look at it all. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to, I'll end where I began, with staff. There are staff in that building that are just so good at that. They can go through and they can find exactly any problematic language or reassurances and give that to their bosses and still quite possibly get that done this week.
I think that's a really important point, though, Pat. It's their staffers who read these 900-page mm-hmm. bills.
Yeah. Correct. Right. And I had great ones, and you have to take that on faith that either your staff or the staff of your caucus leader are so good that when they hand you the bullet points, that they're not trying to pull one over on you. And you almost never see that because, I mean, that's a huge violation of trust. So I'm not going to tell you that I read every page of every state budget bill, but I know the people who did, and I trusted them, and they never let me down.
Yeah,
we're going to continue our conversation with the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. On the other side, we've been talking about the state budget. Let's talk about the federal budget and who is dropping things in from the sky. I had no idea this measure was in there. How does that happen? That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today on the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. Todd will also be talking about the tentative Wisconsin state budget, including the deal for the universities of Wisconsin. Todd has done a lot of work on that and followed this really, really closely. Yeah. And also, they will lighten it up with a What's Worse edition, the cookout condiments edition of What's Worse. That's coming up later on today, 2 to 4 across the network on the Todd Alba Show. We are joined by another friend and colleague and host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow is here. We were talking about the Wisconsin state budget before we went to the break. Pat, I wanted to talk a little bit about the federal budget. I call it the big blob of a bill. Because you have served in the legislature, I have a question for you. This is from NBC News, and the headline says, "A mega bill mystery. New solar and wind tax comes as surprise to Republican senators." No one knows where this came from. No one knows how this ended up in there. Everybody's surprised by this. Lisa Murkowski, everybody, all these Republicans.
She's concerned.
She's very concerned. Where did that come from? No one knows. She said it's like it was airdropped in overnight. How is it that these measures can show up in our budgets and no one has to take credit for it? That shouldn't be a thing.
It should not be a thing. And I was noting from the New York Times a half hour ago that says the so-called wraparound amendment from Senate Republican leadership will strike a tax on wind and solar energy that had surprised and alarmed the renewable energy industry. So, in other words, they got caught with their hand in their cookie jar. Or whatever the case may be. And that, again, is the basically the eternal vigilance in this process, because it ain't over till it's over. And it is always possible for an amendment to come in. When we would be amending the state budget on the floor of the state Senate, some amendments would be ready ahead of time and they'd be properly typed up and look like a bill. You know, all the lines are numbered and all the legal language is in there. And then by the end of it, it is literally scribbles on paper that will say on page 12, line 4, strike, you know, must fund and change it to may fund. Yeah, something like that. And it's just scribbled out. And again, if it makes sense, you know, you vote on it, because the essentially the amendment is what you say it is. You know, I amend it this way. So, yeah, it starts from a very orderly process to one that is pert near chaos by the time it's all done.
But I don't, again, I don't understand, and this has happened in Wisconsin as well, mm-hmm. where things end up in the budget that nobody takes credit for, and nobody yes. wants to be the one who admit that they put that in there. Why isn't that required? I don't understand.
Well, we're going back to the battle over earmarks, and remember the bridge to nowhere?
Yes.
Back however many years ago that was, out of Alaska. And there was this push by Republicans to get rid of all earmarks. And my response to that at the time was, you don't want that. And you know you don't want that. You don't want to get rid of the earmarks, because that's how individual members can fight for their district mm-hmm. to get things that are in there. Yes. I had earmarks in the state budget. What you need is earmark transparency. And when you don't have that, those are literal backroom deals.
Yeah.
For example, Lisa Murkowski, her vote, she's still on the bubble. And it wasn't until after it was drafted as an amendment that somebody parsed the language and said, what's this thing about a non-contiguous state
yeah.
being exempted from, you know, cuts to rural Medicaid funding? Oh, that means Alaska's getting the sweet and Hawaii
yes.
getting the yeah. sweetheart deal.
Yes.
But if nobody had parsed the language, they wouldn't have discovered it. So you have to stay on top of every detail as it's happening.
Chris Murphy, who is a Democrat from Connecticut, actually on his Twitter feed went through this with other little hidden things in this big, massive blob of a budget.
Yeah.
A new tax break for coal companies.
Yes.
So they wanted to get rid of the tax incentives for wind and solar, but we're going to subsidize coal.
I don't know when folks are finally going to, you know, see the current Republicans in Congress for what they are. And that would be the cigar chomping, you know, coal burning robber barons of the late 1800s. These are direct descendants of them. The progressive era, you know, did not start on its own. It happened because guys like those were abusing too many people for too long. Are we going to figure out that they're trying to do the same thing again? Or do we have to wait until things get so bad and then we restart the progressive era from scratch?
Speaking of abuse, according to, again, Chris Murphy from Connecticut, they snuck in a $40 million bill for a statue garden.
Where?
A statue garden?
A statue garden reportedly somewhere in South Dakota. $40 million
yeah.
for a statue.
Well, this is.
Well, he's got it. He can't get on Mount Rushmore yet, so I guess this isn't where we're going to go about it.
That could be it. And
right?
again, all it is transparency. Go ahead and put it in there, but it's got to have a name
own
attached.
It. Own
yes,
it.
Yes, own it.
If it's so important to you and so important to your constituents, I would think you would want to wrap yourself around it and
yes, you
put your name yep. on it.
That's exactly how it should be.
Absolutely.
Pat Kreitlow is host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the network 6 to 9. Thank you so much, Pat. We will see you in a couple.
All righty. Thank you.
I'm going to listen tomorrow for Pigeon Quest, by the way. It's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
It's fantastic.
Is this become like a new segment?
It's a Wednesday segment, yeah.
Oh, it's a Wednesday thing until Melissa Kay from our Wisconsin Rapid Station gets that pigeon and it's on her shoulder. We are going to continue her quest to get a pet rescue
pigeon. Listen to Pat. If nothing else, just for Pigeon Quest. It's fantastic. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Speaker Mike Johnson is calling the House back to Washington to work out concerns on the Trump tax cuts, Medicaid cuts, and spending that could balloon the debt.
We're going to try to answer all those concerns and get this bill delivered on time as we expected and hoped from the very beginning. So a lot of work ahead, but that's the job, so we'll get it done.
Johnson's not sure he can get all of his members back to D.C. tomorrow because some flew home and faced flight cancellations due to weather. Houston police had detained a mother who worked an 8-hour shift while leaving her 9-year-old girl in their car. The girl died in the heat. Families of the University of Idaho murder victims are furious that Brian Koberger is taking a plea deal tomorrow to spare him the firing squad. The Sean Diddy Combs jury returns in the morning to try again on the one charge they can't agree on, racketeering. Del Monte Foods is filing Chapter 11 after 140 years. This is ABC News. Coco.